conversation.
Join the conversation.
You're with Cape Talk.
Very nearly 20 minutes now past 3 o'clock. It's my sense that tattoos have become almost completely normalized. Of course, there are still people who look askance and make negative value judgments about people they see with a tattoo or many tattoos. But I suspect that that number of people has diminished to a relatively small section of society. And perhaps 30 years ago, if you looked at somebody with a tattoo and you thought that they belonged in a particular behavioral category and socioeconomic class, you might have been right, I don't know, 7 times out of 10. Now you may be right 1 time out of 100, because more and more people of so many different stripes and attitudes are choosing to get tattooed. Is it impacting? Should it be allowed to impact? If it does impact, how do you prove it? And how do you reverse the impact? If you apply for a job and you are turned down for that job, and you believe the reason you have been turned down is because you are extensively tattooed. Hugo Pinar is an employment law director at Cliff Decker Hofmeyer and on the line to us now. Hello, Hugo.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me.
How many of the directors at Cliff Decker Hofmeyer have tattoos which are visible when they are wearing their suits and ties?
I can actually not tell you, and hopefully I can't tell you because it is so irrelevant. Of course, as you correctly pointed out, there's the few that may still think otherwise, and one of them is our Minister of Police that says if you wear a tattoo, you have a tendency of becoming a gangster. So if you just think of our good cricket and soccer and rugby players, with tattoos, then on his version, they all have the tendency to become gangsters. How irrational and disappointing is that?
And I've just had somebody WhatsApp me, Hugo, saying, I will never hire people with visible tattoos on or above their chests. As an employment law specialist, do you think that that attitude is still sort of prevalent in the employment industry in South Africa?
I was hoping not. Of course, employers are entitled to put rules in place, but there are limitations to that. And maybe, perhaps, I can just give you a short framework of the legal environment we're operating in, because yeah, we have Section 9(3) of the Constitution, which prohibits any form of unfair discrimination, and sometimes it's a matter of religion. We have the right to human dignity, the freedom of belief, expression, under 16, and in the state environment, government environment, just administrative action. And of course, as we know, no right is absolute. But on top of that, you have the Employment Equity Act that prohibits any form of unfair discrimination or discrimination on arbitrary grounds, which may impact on the dignity. And of course, if you dismiss on account of a form of unfair discrimination, then there's a Section 187 of the Labor Relations Act, which will impact on your remedies and may lead to 24 months compensation. So, in short, of course, you can't have tattoos, that's offences, and that constitutes a form of discrimination, etc. But there is case law in South Africa on that score where the correctional services said, I'm going to take this rule and I'm going to impose it. You may not wear dreadlocks. And they said, we want to do so. Why? Why? Because one is that it impacts on the discipline, and secondly, it looks neat. Of course, females were allowed to wear dreadlocks. And the court said, that's just not correct. You can't do that. And the test is, are you lying on an arbitrary ground that's on an entirely unsatisfactory scenario, which was the case here? There's clearly no ground for justifying that rule, and the court ruled against the department in that particular case. But you're right, the boni mores changes, and I think it's such an acceptable tendency at the moment, not only in South Africa, but worldwide.
But I mean, how do you prove it if you are convinced that the reason you have not been employed is because even though you were wearing a suit and so the tattoos which cover your chest and your legs and your arms were not visible because they were rendered not visible by the clothing you're wearing, you do have tattoos on your hands and you have tattoos that come up onto your neck, so those are visible, and you're convinced that is the reason you didn't get the job. Is there a way of proving that? I mean, if you should employ a labor lawyer to take this on for you, would the company have to prove that they had disqualified you from the post for reasons other than your tattoos?
Yeah, well, of course, depending on the nature of your case and whether you base it on a specific ground for discrimination or an arbitrary ground, there's a different proof, onus of proof, but that becomes more technical. The interesting case in the UK was one where an employee was asked during the interview whether he liked the Guinness, and I think it was an Irishman, obviously an Irishman. He didn't get the job, but the tribunal again eventually gave him, I think, £1,000 compensation. He says, because by your question, you're creating the perception that you think all Irish drink too much. So I thought that was an interesting scenario. Yeah. In our case, coming back to your question, of course, if you can prove that that is a rule within the company and it infringes on your rights and there's an arbitrary and all of that and it's listed or unlisted ground, then you may succeed as an applicant to protect your rights. But it's sometimes difficult to prove, and you're absolutely correct about that. A clever employer would not cite that as a reason.
Are there any circumstances under which a company could make it a condition of employment that their workers do not have visible tattoos?
I can't think of any offhand, but I would think sometimes if you were to sell a particular beauty product, but then it becomes more an operational requirement, so it's justifiable. Obviously, provided that tattoos may impact on your ability to settle the product, to sell the product, or whatever the case might be. I'm just thinking randomly. Otherwise, for the moment, I can't think of any specific reason for the moment.
Hugo, thanks very much for talking us through all of that. Hugo Pinar is a director with a specialization in employment law, working with Cliff Decker Hoffmeyer. Let's go through some more WhatsApps that have come in.